Turn the Word of God to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, again, we'll read the whole chapter and take in the wisdom of God, but we will focus our attention this afternoon on verse 13. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. When the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his own esteem. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The poor man uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Again, verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Well, children, have you ever been told that you have two ears and one mouth, which means you need to listen twice as much as you speak? Perhaps your mom has told you that on more than one occasion. And if not, she'll probably start telling you that on more than one occasion. Now, that idea, two ears, one mouth, listen twice as much as you speak, is not from the Bible. It's not. I'm not going to give you a chapter and verse where you're going to find that statement made. But there is biblical truth in it. We know that God has made us. He's created us. He's made every part of us. And as Proverbs 20 verse 12 tells us, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both and intends for us to use them both appropriately in a way that He intended. God made us for His own glory, including He made our ears that we would use them for His own glory. Now, the idea of not listening but liking to talk is not just something that we find in you children or in our own hearts, but it is a societal issue. This is, you know, commentators on society lament that we're a people that we don't listen to each other. We just talk. We don't want to listen. We don't have any dialogue. Everybody, we only dialogue with people that we like or that are like us, and we don't actually listen to anyone else. That's a problem that comes that we see right at the top in our government, with when the government claims they're going to listen but do more talking than listening. And when you listen to, for example, in our parliament, you listen to question period, and you hear a number of questions but never an answer. That's why the old joke is always, it's not called answer period, it's called question period. Although, mind you, those who are actually asking the questions are themselves not usually interested in the answers. They're interested in they have other goals behind the questions they ask. But the problem isn't going to be fixed at the top. It's not there that we need to look and lament and rail against our leaders. But the change needs to start in the heart. Change needs to start in your heart and my heart as we consider how well do we listen. And as we consider the biblical wisdom that God gives us, this very practical wisdom that is to be lived out in our lives by faith in Jesus Christ. Taking the truth of Scripture, how God says we should live our life, and looking to Christ in order to be able to do it for the heart that actually wants to live it out. That's what we find as we come to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book, as we've considered this in last year, we were looking through the first 9 chapters and looking at some Proverbs past that this is where really one of those books where the rubber meets the road of the Christian life, where we get this practical wisdom that really gives us very practical ways to live out our Christian profession. If you are following Jesus Christ, here's how it matters to this area or that area of your life as we all seek to live coram Deo, before the face of God, dwelling in the presence of God with all our lives. Now, we've considered various Proverbs before, including, you may recall, Proverbs 12, verses 17 to 19, where we focused on the use of the tongue. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Well, that was on the tongue. This afternoon, I want us to consider the ears. And so indeed, may the Holy Spirit give us ears to hear and a heart to hear and understand and to practice the wisdom of His Word. Honor the Lord and each other by humbly and carefully listening before responding. Honor the Lord and each other by humbly and carefully listening before responding. So we consider verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. We're going to consider this first. Listen, we're going to listen to this wise counsel. And then we're going to consider how to live it and honor the Lord. And then finally, how to live it and honor each other. Listen to this wise counsel and then live it out. Well, first, as we listen to this counsel, we need to heed the warning. It is a proverb that's given in the negative. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Here's the warning. And we need to slow down, as we need to do with Proverbs, and ponder them and think about them and turn them over in our mind and in our heart. In fact, we quickly go over a proverb like this and say, yeah, that's pretty obvious, and move on. All right, not realizing we just answered the matter before we actually heard it, because we didn't really process it. We just moved on. It's good for us to slow down and consider what it's talking about. Well, in reality, it's a very generic situation. The person who's answering the matter is not told to us. The person who's speaking, he's speaking to, is not answered to us. The matter that's at hand is not revealed. It's not just a theological matter. It's not just a matter in a family. It can be anything. But the focus of the proverb really is on the action, is on the person responding back, returning back an answer before he even hears what the whole conversation is about, what the matter is. It's like if you watch a tennis match and you see the one person's about to serve, but the other person's just flailing around, jumping around and flailing their racket, trying to return serves that haven't even been given yet. They look kind of foolish, and it's really not going to help them. But that's what they're doing, and that's what we do, and we try to answer a matter before it's even been given to us, and we've actually thought through it. Well, how do we do this? How do we answer a matter before we hear it? There are a few ways we do this. We answer a matter before we hear it when we cut someone off before they finish saying what they're about to say, because our answer is so important that we want to get it in before they have a chance to finish. If you ever watch the game show on TV, the Family Feud, and you get these two families that compete against each other, and then to start a round, one from each family come up, and the questions get asked, and they have to be the first to buzz in to give an answer. But if they buzz in before the question is fully asked, the host stops asking the question. And so the person get half a question and try to give an answer, but often that makes no sense. Their answer makes no sense, because then after they try to answer and it's wrong, they read the rest of the question, and you realize that because they didn't listen. They were too quick. They wanted to get an answer in, but then it kind of didn't end very well for them. So that's one way. We cut someone off before they finish. Another way is that we let them finish. They continue talking, but we're not listening anymore. We've already moved on to the response we're going to give them. We already have a response. In fact, I was reading this morning before the morning worship from the Reformed Perspective magazine, the latest issue, has an article in there by Sharon Bratcher on conversation, how to have a good conversation. And she quoted someone else talking about how we can either listen to understand somebody who's talking to us, or we can listen to respond to somebody. It's two very different ways. If someone's talking to you, you might be already thinking of your response instead of actually thinking about what they're telling you and wanting to understand what they're saying and how they're describing some situation. We may be listening to say, oh, I want to get in my anecdote that's going to really be good. And we're just thinking about ourselves and not thinking about them. We already have a response. Boys and girls, when your parents are about to tell you something, but maybe you already have something you want to respond with, something you've got to say, and you're no longer listening to the instructions they're giving you or the explanation they're giving you, and at the end of it, you're getting all upset. If you just listened, you would have learned before you got upset. So we can cut someone off, we can just stop listening to them and try to fight for, because we already have a response made up in our minds and we're just waiting for them to graciously stop talking so we can start. And the third way is that we've heard them, but we haven't processed what they've said, and so we quickly have a response. We quickly pipe up with something. We quickly already have, we speak far too quickly. We open our mouth before we use our mind. And this can happen in a way, for example, when somebody is giving you a critique, saying something about perhaps your parenting, or perhaps about a job you did, or perhaps about your preaching. And you react already in your mind. You know, someone says it, and you oh, this doesn't sound good, and your blood pressure goes up, and you start getting sweaty palms, and your heart starts beating, and you're getting all worked up in your mind, your heart, and you haven't actually listened to what they're saying. You haven't given them a fair hearing to what they're even trying to say. Or perhaps it's something that's really helpful that God has put them there, a brother or sister, to help you, but you don't show any appreciation because you're already trying to, you've got 15 excuses and defenses in your mind that you've developed. You haven't really heard and processed. Now, as with most proverbs, these are general statements of truth. It doesn't mean that there are no exceptions to the rule, no exceptions to it. It doesn't mean that a parent can't cut off their children and interrupt them when they're trying to insist on their own way. It doesn't mean that you need to let an ungodly conversation continue to its end because you got to let them speak it out even when it's ungodly and unfaithful to and shameful to before the Lord. That there are exceptions. But the exceptions don't make the norm. This is the norm of our conversation with people. We need to give people the opportunity to speak and not answer a matter before we've heard it. Now, the Proverbs frequently make a contrast between wise and foolish, between the wise person and the foolish person. The wise person is the person who is humble in their own understanding, who seeks and desires good knowledge and true knowledge and seeks the Lord. The wise person is the one who, though they're already wise, want more wisdom. They want to continue to grow and be faithful. They're humble in their own opinions. And they watch what they say and how they use their ears. But the foolish person is the one who loves to hear himself talk. The foolish person is the one who thinks they don't need to hear from someone else because they already, or from God, because they already know all that they need to know and all that they need to say. The fool is the one who is disregarding of others, and especially of God. We are called throughout the book of Proverbs to heed the call of wisdom. And Jesus Christ, as we've seen when we were going through these chapters, the first chapters, is wisdom incarnate. He is wisdom itself. So we hear the call of wisdom frequently. We need to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And as we even chapter 1, there's the call of wisdom, crying out, crying aloud, and calling for us to listen. Whoever listens to me will dwell securely and will be secure without fear of evil. That's the call of wisdom. Well, here we're not necessarily, we don't have the wise versus the foolish, but we do have the product of foolishness. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly or foolishness and shame. This is the act of a foolish person. This is an act of the fool. Relates back to verse 2 in the same chapter. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. That's where his delight is. Just, he doesn't want to learn more. He wants to tell out. He wants to speak out. Now, what is the great and the ugly sin that all of this is? It's pride. It's pride. It's saying that what I have to say is better than what you're saying. It's more important than what you have to say. That my wisdom is greater than your wisdom. That I don't need to learn from you. You need to learn from me. It's all kinds of pride. I know what's best. And there are other sins tied in with that. Self-importance, self-centeredness. That I'm the center of the conversation, and so everything needs to relate back to me. There's laziness in actually giving someone the time that they are due, and not wanting to actually invest in them, but wanting them to listen to what you have to say. There's impatience in not being willing to wait and let someone speak, and there's ultimately a lack of love. It doesn't show love to not care about what others are saying to you, but only want to describe what you have to say, to respond back when you could perhaps have an opportunity to bless them and serve them in a properly thought out and godly response, and you blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind because you haven't bothered to think much through it. And this kind of action, as the proverb says, it's not only folly, but it brings shame, it brings disgrace. It may happen from time to time, but a pattern that is there in your life is one that develops a reputation. I can't speak to that person. I can't talk to them because they have no interest in anything other than talking about themselves. It gains a reputation of being one who is only self-concerned and not concerned about others. Now, you might think of those. People might come to mind. Oh, yes, there's somebody. Whew. Really applies to them. We can do that so easily with Scripture. Really applies to them, but we need to look in the mirror. And we need to consider and do a heart check up ourselves. How do we converse with others? What kind of conversations do we engage in? How engaging with other people out of love and concern for them are we? And this is not just a matter of wisdom. This is a sinful trait. When we answer a matter before we hear it, it is foolishness, and it is a sinful trait that needs correcting through the power of Jesus Christ. It's sin that needs to be It's sin that comes out of a heart that is selfish and self-centered that needs to be changed and made God-centered and thus able to be caring about our neighbor as well. And so we need to heed the warning, but we also need to heed the wisdom that is here and built into this text. We need to not only stop doing what is wrong in our lives, we need to start doing what is right. And of course, when I say that, I'm not suggesting that this is wisdom you put into practice by yourselves. It's what you need Jesus Christ for, to live right and do what is right. To be wise, not a fool, and to listen as you're called to do. Now, good listeners, people who are considered good listeners are loved by all. People like a good listener. Someone who hears them and genuinely cares and genuinely hears and genuinely seeks to understand. And the best listener and the most humble listener in all the universe is our God Himself. He's the best listener because He's the God. He hears all that we say. He hears every word we speak, whether we're speaking to Him or not. He knows of everything that is said from us and said to us. He hears it all. That's an encouragement. It's also troubling when we consider that God hears every word we speak, and for every word man speaks, he'll be brought into judgment. But it's encouraging because when we speak to God, we also know He hears us. And with that hearing is the genuine care that God has for His people. David, you recall in Psalm 4, David is in great distress, and he's crying out to the Lord in verse 1, "Hear me! When I call, O God of my righteousness, you have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Then we come to verse 3. What's David's faith-filled next statement? But know that the Lord has set apart for Himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. He does hear me. He will hear me. And that's the declaration of the saints throughout the scriptures. The Lord hears and the Lord answers. And if you're here this afternoon and you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cry out to the Lord, there are the promises of Scripture that He hears that too. Matthew 7, as Jesus is preaching, and he declares to his disciples and to the multitudes that were there, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." There's a gospel promise there, that you go to Jesus Christ and you cry out to Him, "Lord, hear me in my distress, in my great need because of my sin, and save me." And every answer that God ever gives is perfectly wise. He never gives an answer he never falls into the foolishness, of course. He's our perfect God of this. He never answers a matter, as it were, before He hears it. His answers are perfectly wise. They're the right response every single time. So God is the best listener. But with that, He's also the most humble. Why is God the most humble listener? It's because He Himself is the one who created us. He Himself is the one who made us to listen to Him. But He, in His grace, also listens to us, and He promises to hear us when we call to Him. And God is so gracious that when He set the plans for the entire universe, He also incorporated our prayers into His plan. In other words, He established He established that we could pray to Him as a way of working out His plans. He didn't have to do that. He made prayer possible because He loves to hear. Have you ever considered this? That God created prayer for you and me because He loves to hear from us as His children. He wants us to pray to Him. We are so utilitarian. In other words, we're so used to, "Why do I pray?" Or, "Well, it doesn't seem to do it," as if prayer is just about what I get out of it, or does it work or not. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is fellowship with our Creator. Prayer God gave to us so that we could enjoy Him. God loves to hear us. Our Creator humbles Himself. He stoops down, condescending to us, to hear us. And that's why He's provided Jesus, so that we could have that fellowship with Him. Our sins could be forgiven. We could have a restored relationship with Him. And we could, included with that, is that access to His throne of grace, access to God's ear, always, every day, all day, through Christ. That's not a privilege for everyone in the world. That's a privilege for those who believe in God through Jesus Christ. That's a privilege for His children. We pray, and God promises to hear us, and God speaks, and we listen to Him as He speaks to us by His Spirit in the Word, as He speaks to us through the Scriptures. And so the call of this proverb, the call of wisdom then, is be like God. Be like your Creator. See, you might have heard this proverb, and there are others like this, but this one was the one we're focusing on. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame to him. And you're thinking, why is that? Why are you preaching on that? I mean, that sounds like something I saw somebody tweet last week. And it sounds like just a piece of advice somebody came up with. And my mom says that to me. Why are you preaching on this? Why is it even in the Bible? It seems like a very secular thing. Maybe it's not. How is that a Christian statement to make? Why does it have to be in the Bible? Well, let me tell you why. It's not going to be surprising to find God's truth in the world out there, because God has made this world, and we are made in God's image. We are made to reflect Him. If God is one who listens, then we, though we are sinful, are also those who recognize that we ought to listen. We ought to show care. We ought to show this kind of compassion. We may not get the exact words that we have here, but yes, you'll find truth like this stated in other contexts outside of the Christian church. But the problem is, of course, is that the world often knows, and we too in our own hearts and lives, we often know what is the right thing to do, but even if we know what the right thing to do is, we have no power in ourselves to do it. We have no strength in ourselves. This is why the world is in the mess that it's in. We know many of the right things we ought to do, but we don't want to do it. We are very good at knowing what to do and not doing it. There's no motivation. We don't live out the wisdom of God because we have no God in us. The heart to live out or any of these proverbs, but this one here to listen carefully and give a proper response, that heart that we need must come from God. That's why we need faith in Jesus Christ, to live out the wisdom of God. It's why we as believers every single day need to stop trying to strive to get ahead by ourselves, but to live out of Jesus Christ, to live out of His fullness and by His Spirit every day, to put this wisdom into practice. How can we then be sanctified to live this out? How can we? By repenting of our pride and our self-centeredness and seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, make me to see and consider You more and my neighbor more and myself less. Verse 15 is really a contrast to this, where we have, in verse 13, we have the fool. In verse 15, we have the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. We go to the Lord. And we say, Lord, forgive my foolishness, forgive my pride, and give me a heart that's wise. And give me to listen wisely, both to what You say to me and how others speak to me, so that I might know how I ought to respond. That's the wisdom of God. Honor the Lord and each other by humbly and carefully listening before responding. Well, we've considered the warning and the wisdom, but now let's look at how we live this out before God and others. And first, most importantly, how do we live this out and honor the Lord? Well, verse 13, first and foremost, we heed the wisdom of verse 13 by listening to the Lord. He's the one we need to hear before anyone else. He's the one we need to have. This is the whole point of the book of Proverbs is not just, here's some good ideas that Solomon thought up. This is the wisdom of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a central verse to the whole book of Proverbs describing its whole purpose in Proverbs 1 verse 7. We need to give heed to the Word of God. Give heed to what the Lord has to say, and that is the way of righteousness. That's the way of obedience to a verse like this. And the trouble for us begins when we don't read the Scriptures, the Word of God, and receive it as the very Word of God. When we don't believe it, we read it as some words of man instead of God's Word given to us. And when we don't recognize this is the most important thing we're ever going to hear is when the Word of God is read and proclaimed. And when we open the Scriptures, even in our own readings of it, and we respond in our heart before we give God's Word the hearing that it is due, before we give God the hearing He is due. Because we read the Word and it convicts us of sin and it pricks our conscience. And so we quickly move on, lest we dwell on that uncomfortable feeling for too long and lest it bring us to repentance. Or because perhaps the Word of God is too familiar to us. We've read it many times. We've gone through it many times. We know what it says. And we know what it's going to say. And so we skim over it as we do our readings instead of slowing down. You know, you listen to a podcast. I mean, you know, often podcast apps, you can listen at like 1.5 times speed or 3 times speed. You know, imagine your marriage or your friendships if you just lived them in 3 times speed. You know, your spouse would just be, you're not going to have a very good marriage. You're not listening to what they're saying. You're skimming through it. It's not going to help you. You're not going to have a good relationship because you're not actually listening. You said, but I heard or I listened. No, you didn't. You respond in your heart beforehand because it's too familiar. You've already responded. You've moved on. Third way that we do this is when we're not prepared for worship. We're not prepared for the dialogue with God. We're interested in speaking to God in worship. We're not interested in having Him speak back to us. We're not interested in listening to what He has to say. Or when you're under the Word of God and the minister says one thing that it's usually right in the first 5 minutes and it just, I don't like it. I don't like what he said. He probably didn't articulate himself very well, and I just lost the entire rest of the sermon because I am just dwelling on that one thing he said, and I can't get over it, but you need to get over it. You can go talk to me after, or whatever minister it is. You can go talk and bring it up, but if you lose the rest of it, if that's that one thing and you just can't move past it, you need to, or you're dismissing the rest of what God has to say to you. You see how destructive it is when we don't listen to God, first of all, when we don't hear what He has to say. We need to give ourselves to listen carefully as wise and faithful disciples of God. Listen to the wisdom of James. You can turn there if you want to James chapter 1. I think you know where I'm going in James chapter 1. I can find my way to James chapter 1, verses starting at verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, James 1, verse 19, then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You see, you're listening to God, first of all. Receive His word. And then James goes on, how do you know when you're hearing well? How do you know when you're listening to God well? When you're doing what He tells you to do. When your life reflects the Word and the instructions of the Word of God. That's what James continues to say. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If this characterizes your life, you're not just a hearer but a doer, which shows that you actually are a true hearer, then you are living out Proverbs 18:13, the wisdom of it, rather. You're living out what the wisdom is pushing you towards. Honor the Lord and each other by humbly and carefully listening before responding. Well, first and foremost, we need to honor the Lord. But we also need to honor each other and show love for each other, which is itself a reflection of how much we honor and love the Lord. And that's the second part. Now, there are many ways to apply this in our lives day to day, in our day to day living, and the different relationships you have and the different ways you interact with people. But I want to consider just three with you this afternoon. Evangelism, living it in your evangelism, living it in your family, and living it amongst your neighbors. Now, you might think the obvious application of Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. You might think the obvious application in evangelism is when you're talking to someone else about Jesus and they don't want to hear you. They've already come up with big ideas about who Jesus is. They've never read the Bible, but they're going to tell you what's in the Bible and why it's so awful and why it doesn't make sense and why it doesn't hold together. And they're going to give you all the answers that they heard on a podcast somewhere. And they're not listening to me. They're not going to listen to me. And we think that might be the obvious application. It's not about me. It's about those people that just don't want to listen about Jesus. They're not interested. You see, Jesus dealt with those kinds of people all the time. The religious leaders were chief among them. They would come to Jesus, and they would come to him, and they would come up with these crazy scenarios, or they would come up with these big excuses, and they'd try to challenge him and to throw him off. And they were doing it not because they cared about him, but because they were trying to embarrass him in front of everybody. And this was what they were trying to do. But what did Jesus do? He listened to them, so that he might respond well to them. He listened to what they had to say, or at times would ask questions of them. Didn't mean he agreed. He didn't mean he thought what they thought they said was actually wise and good, but he listened so he might respond. You know, I think the deeper application then of this verse to our evangelism is perhaps your greatest need is not what you say in your evangelism, but how you listen. It's not about what you say, but how you listen. Now, it doesn't mean you don't proclaim truth. We need to proclaim truth as we bring the greatest news of the world has ever known, salvation in Jesus Christ, to a world that needs it, as we need it. But you need to listen to those you're speaking about Christ to understand where their need is, to understand what it is that their arguments are, what their thoughts are, what the roadblocks are, what's going on in their heart. You need to listen and actually care, not listen to respond, but listen to understand, that you might know them. This shows basic respect to a fellow human being. And humanly speaking, it makes our evangelism far more effective. Listen. Ask questions. Dialogue. Have a conversation with people. I think it would actually make our evangelism, the idea of evangelism, far less intimidating. You're not going for an argument. You're going for a conversation with a fellow man or woman who needs to hear the grace of God, but you need to hear what's going on in their life. You need to understand them. And when you're not heard, and when it's rejected, and whatever situation is, react not with anger, but with grace. Show the grace of God. Remember our Savior. This morning I mentioned John 7, 51 and 52. Jesus, you know, Jesus being discussed by the religious leaders, and they're ready to throw him out. And Nicodemus stands up and he says, is this the law of God? Do we condemn a man without giving him a hearing? That was happening to Jesus all the time. Jesus showed grace. Remember the grace that God has shown to you, and show that grace to others. Live this out in your evangelism. Secondly, live it out in your family. Now, boys and girls, as you think about this, when you talk before your parents finish talking, or you finish their sentences, or you have other ideas in your mind, you haven't even listened to what they've had to say, that is not honoring your parents. You need to honor God. And in honoring God, you need to honor your parents. And by honoring your parents at your age, when you're young in particular, and you're in their home, it's obedience to your parents. Proverbs 1 verse 8 is just one verse of many we find through the first section of Proverbs that is a constant heed of, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Listen to the wisdom they give you and listen to their commands and hear what they have to say. I think it would save a lot of grief in your own life and a lot of discipline. Ask the Lord for help. You can ask the Lord for help. Lord, help me to govern my tongue. Help me to use my ears the way you made them to be used. And help me also, not just with your parents, but also to respect my brothers and my sisters, to actually listen to them. They're not an authority over you, but they are those who are still people just like you who deserve basic respect to listen without having to be shouted at, or without you having to be shouted at to hear them. And parents, we have a responsibility to listen to our children as well. They're not our equals in that sense of God's structured authority. They are, in terms of faith in Christ, that distinction's not there, but we are not in terms of authority and the structures of authority. And, you know, they can't demand that to be heard and say, you listen to me, like we can demand of them to stop and listen to what we have to say. But we need to take the time to stoop down to our children and to listen to them, to give them time to tell and explain and talk about what's going on in their lives. We have so many responsibilities. I don't have time. And they're just going to tell me some inane story about whatever little thing happened in their life because they're little people. Or maybe they're growing up to be bigger people. But that's our responsibility to stop and listen, to let them talk, to listen to what they have to say. If you won't hear them now, why will they talk to you later when they're older? And why will they come to you and think, I'm going to go with my struggles and my faith to my dad or my mom? I know they're going to listen to me. I know they like to talk with me. They're going to take the time to hear me. That starts little and gets better and grows as they get bigger as well. And finally, in terms of our family, we think of our marriages. Again, not the only ways these things all apply, but they apply in our marriages. We honor one another in our marriages as husbands and wives when we listen to each other. Again, save us a lot of grief if we actually listened to each other and heard it out what was going to be said instead of jumping to a conclusion about what was going to be said. We ought not to have, as one writer puts it, in marriage, a dialogue of the deaf. A dialogue of the deaf whereby everybody speaks and nobody listens. Kent Hughes writes that love spends time, listens, and gives itself. Such is Christ's love. And our marriages, which ought to reflect that relationship between Christ and His church, ought to reflect Christ in this way and reflect that so that we are listening and honoring each other by humbly and carefully listening before we respond. And then finally, living it out amongst your neighbors. I asked a friend of mine once, who was a mentor of mine, who I asked him, I said, how do you develop relationships? He had a lot of good relationships in his work, and I said, how do you network? How do you build relationships? And his response to me, this is when I was still working in politics, his response to me was, ask people questions. Ask them about themselves. He wasn't so much talking about them in terms of, you might think, well, that sounds pretty cynical that people just want to talk about themselves. He wasn't meaning it that way. What he meant was, do you actually care about the people you talk to? If you even show the smallest amount of care for the people you talk to, you're going to develop relationships. You're going to develop friendships. If all you want to do, and this is a terrible thing in politics, but it affects every area of our life, if all it is about talking about me, 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 nobody is, you don't develop friendships and relationships that way. Building relationships is more about listening than it is about talking. That's not an excuse to you if you say, I never say anything. You still need to talk. But it is more about listening than talking. How do you get to know somebody if you don't hear what they have to say and what their life is about? How many gospel opportunities do you think you will have if all you do is talk and never listen, never ask a question, never show an interest in anybody else? Maybe it's not that extreme, but think about it. If we show interest in others, then we'll get to know them and who they are and what's going on in their lives and where the gospel will bless is particularly needed. This applies to our online communication as well. Those we interact with on the internet are our neighbors as well, regardless of where in the world they live. They are our neighbors whom we need to show care to. And we need to be careful when we receive text messages or look at a comment on a Facebook post or send an email or rather receive an email. We need to be careful that we don't read tone into emails and we don't have uncharitable and ungodly thoughts about the person who sent it because we didn't bother to take the time to properly read it or to follow up and ask questions. So easy to get an email and to make it ruin your day and you lose half your night of sleep because you just didn't bother to follow up and ask. And social media, so-called social media, has only exposed this problem, the problem of our selfishness and our selfish hearts all the more. And social media has been around long enough, this is no longer a young people's problem. This is for all of us who are online and engaging. It exposes the selfishness of the heart because it makes it all about us. And we end up in groups and in discussions that are nothing more than echo chambers where all we hear is we say our opinion and we get the same opinion back because everybody there agrees with us. Or we go on and we try to pick fights with people who completely disagree with us and we don't listen and nobody listens and we just fire back comments back and forth. There's no debate, no real good conversation. All I'm going to say, the only point I want to say on this, so much to say, be careful how social media communication distorts your heart and makes you think about other people who you'll never see face-to-face, who you'll never have a face-to-face conversation with, but you have just written off as a fellow human being because you didn't like their opinion. It distorts our heart. You see it everywhere. Be careful how media like this distorts your heart and your communication. The ancient wisdom of Proverbs 18:13, no, Solomon did not have a Facebook account, but this wisdom applies. God's wisdom always applies. He who answers a matter before he hears it, regardless of the medium, is guilty of being a fool. But the wise listens, answers, and perhaps in social media context doesn't take the time, doesn't actually engage themselves in every conversation that could be had. Brothers and sisters, honor the Lord and each other by humbly and carefully listening before responding. That's what we've considered this afternoon, the practical wisdom to be put in practice through humble living in Jesus Christ. Heard the wisdom of God. You've heard it. Have you really heard it? Is this going to make you go back and correct a conversation you had earlier today to bring you to repentance for something you did earlier? Well, by the grace of our God, the God who listens, who knows us, may we put our ears to a better and a wiser use for the glory of His name. Amen. Lord our God, thank You for this word that You have spoken to us. We pray that we would indeed have heard it, and by the grace of Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, that we would put this wisdom into practice, that we would care about others and listen and engage in conversation in a way that is godly and faithful. We pray that this would filter into our lives, in all our relationships, in all our interactions with one another, and in the church and outside of the church, in our work, in our jobs, in our schools, and in our families. And we pray for Your grace to be wise in this way. Thank You for the wisdom of Your word, and thank You for the power of Jesus to live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.